Hey there, everybody. It is October 3rd, 2013, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line. Send that email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. Right there on the homepage, you can submit questions to our relationship expert, Dr. Frankie. She's going to be on the air next week answering your questions this month, so submit them, and we will solve all of your love problems. So write them in right there. And of course, right there on the homepage, you can also donate money. We're trying to get $10,000. 1,000 folks to donate $10 each to raise money for the San Francisco to LA AIDS ride. Follow us on Twitter because we use that every now and then. We even used it this week. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us because we sure as heck like you. A jam-packed show for you this week. We must get started with our first guest. Lori Michaels is an acclaimed singer, songwriter, and activist. She got our feet moving with the Billboard Dance Club Top 15 Smash Rebound. She starred in her own show, Me and the Girls, on Here TV. She toured, you know, everywhere with her live Me and the Girls shows. And her latest single, Lady of the Harbor, is available for you to download right this very second, or maybe after we finish chatting. Lori Michaels, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
I love that your show is called This Show Is So Gay. I'm loving it. How are you, Ken?
How are you dealing with that pressure? Because sometimes our guests, you know, we're in year five now. Actually, Lori, this is our first show of our sixth year.
Well, congratulations, and I'm happy to be on the first. I like doing first things first.
Nice.
So that makes me very happy.
Nice. Are you feeling the pressure? Sometimes the guests feel the pressure of being so gay. How are you dealing with it in this moment?
No, I don't feel any pressure. I'm actually really relaxed right now. I'm feeling pretty gay and I'm feeling pretty relaxed. So I think I'm okay. And you know, now even with the pressure of being the on your first show of this season, I'm okay.
Look at that. See, I didn't even think this could be seasons. This could be season six. I had no idea. Lori, we start with you as we start with all of our singer-songwriters over the years. Tell our listening audience why the medium of music to get your voice across.
Music has and is my passion, and I just I always tell people it's not what I do, it's who I am, and I feel it's just, for better and worse days, a good love song, a good cry, a good upbeat song will change your mood drastically, and put you in a good or bad one, and it just has been one of those things for me that has lifted me up or made me feel a little bit too much at times, and that's my thing.
That's your thing. Well, we're going to do a little Lori Michaels, This Is Your Life, because there are a lot of Lori and Ken intersections. It's almost like we're family. Let's see where we start. We start up with you growing up in New Jersey, like me. Tell everybody about your hometown in New Jersey.
I grew up in a small town in Jersey, Fairview, in Bergen County. And please tell me where you grew up, Ken. Are we neighbors or were we neighbors?
We are so neighbors. I'm a Bergen County guy, too.
Oh, come on. Where?
Montvale, New Jersey, the last exit on the parkway.
Oh, you see, and then I moved to Oradell for high school, so I got closer to you.
I was closer. I love it.
I went to Riverdale High School after that.
I know it well. So tell us about life growing up in New Jersey.
Life in Jersey was great for me. I was a typical young tomboy, I should say. I went to Catholic school, and I started singing in church. I joined my school's baseball team, Fairview's Little League. I was the only girl on the Little League and only girl on the boys' baseball team in my grammar school. And basketball, student council, pretty typical for me. And I also at the same time was going into New York City for dance classes at Broadway Dance Center in New York City. And I was one of Hatchett's kids and got the opportunity to dance with amazing performers and have amazing instructors. And also that's where I kind of dabbled in starting show business, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And then from there, I went to high school, Riverdale, on and off doing things in the music business and entertainment business. I started my nonprofit organization when I was 16 at Riverdale High School.
Wow.
And then from there, jumped into college at New York University.
Hey, Lori, where did I
go to NYU?
Where did I go to college? I'm telling you, from Jersey to NYU.
Are you NYU as well?
I'm an NYU Violet. There are no shortage of NYU Violets on This Show Is So Gay in the past 5 years, let me tell you.
this show is so gay, and we are family, Ken. This
we're totally family. We probably did you do dorm life at NYU?
I did for a short period of time. Then I went off campus, and then I moved back to New Jersey because I just wanted to be back in New Jersey for some strange reason.
I love it.
Now, like, totally being out of school for many, many years, I'm like, why did I move out of New York? What was I thinking? but, yeah, I like the idea of driving in and then driving out and, you know, going there when I wanted to. But, yeah, wow, you were NYU as well.
Through and through. And I know our listening audience is thinking, well, obviously, Lori Michaels majored in dance and music at NYU, but indeed, no.
No, I didn't. I was already doing all that. Like, I was already performing. I was already recording. So I went the other route, and I thought I was going to be a lawyer. So I went political science, and then, you know, I was interning in a law firm and at Giblin & Giblin in New Jersey, also in Bergen County. And, you know, then afterwards, my like, last semester at NYU, my professor was like, what are you doing? You can't do all this fantastic stuff and be on tour and still be a lawyer. It's not going to work. Pick. And he said, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but you can always go back to school. And I think he knew I was never going to go back to law school,
right.
But, you know, that was, I thank Professor Shulman for shaking me a little bit and, you know, letting me be Lori Michaels. I feel like I carry that NYU-ness, like, all through my everyday stuff because, you know, with my business and with my nonprofit and everything, you know, being an artist is great and the love of music is great, but if you don't understand the business of your art, then you really, really have to either depend on really good people or, you know, just figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, of course, as I also come from a New Jersey family, and we're a particular breed of people, how supportive was your family of you saying, you know what, I'm probably not going to go the law route, I'm going to go a different direction?
I think my family was just, like, so proud that I went to college and that I was doing well. And, you know, my father's voice was in the back of my head saying, you need something to fall back on. And, you know, I think I always kind of held that to be a little bit true, but I don't feel like I fell back on anything or needed anything other than just kind of keeping true to what I really wanted to do. And luckily for me, I was able to, you know, still go to college and still, you know, do what I love and then figure out, you know, over the course of the last long couple of years, how that really has turned into who I am and what I really do is you know my quote unquote career for me. So I'm really blessed that my family, you know, kind of let me be, and I'm also, you know, grateful for my mom and dad and, you know, for them helping to kind of keep me true to living my dreams and,
yeah.
and doing what I needed to do to accomplish the stuff that I wanted to do.
Little Lori Michaels, mom and dad shout out. We love it.
Yeah.
We love it. Mom and Dad, I gave you a shout out on This Show Is So Gay. See how they respond. My parents are still dealing with it 5 years later. It's all good. It's all good. So talk to me about being an out artist. It really is one of my favorite topics to talk about. We have so many singer-songwriters on and so many different opinions on whether or not being an out artist is either integral to the music or important to put out there or where it factors into your presentation. What is Lori Michaels' take on being an out artist?
You know what? I always say that I never really felt like I was in the closet.
Yeah.
I've always tried to remain true to who I am. And that was whether I was on a stage or in a recording studio or, you know, in my bedroom. Like I've always kind of preached to be who you are. And, musically I've been lucky and fortunate enough to write about songs and have songs. And if I wanted to say she in a song, I say she. If I want to write a song called Girl Thing, I wrote the song. I was able to put that on my debut album. You know, when I signed to the record label in 2000 and my album came out in 2008, you know, the label was really supportive of me being true to myself. And I was really lucky because they didn't say you have to be something else. and they embraced me for who I was. And I, you know, my manager at the time, Todd Giblin, you know, and also running, you know, he's my A&R rep at the label. He was 100% behind me, and he still is, you know, even though he's not my manager, he's one of my closest friends. And, he really was a big part of why I really have been able to say, you know what, I am who I am.
Yeah.
And, fortunately and unfortunately, you know, we live in a world that it's hopefully getting easier, but there's still a lot of work to be done when it comes to, you know, being gay. And, you know, lucky for us, you know, and lucky for me, I you know, I came out at a time with my music where people were like, okay, yeah, so, you know, and they thought it was an act, but some people were like, are you really gay? And I'm like, hello, how can you not tell? But, you know, for me, it was, I get letters and I get emails and asked all the time, you know, how do you do it? And it has it been hard and personally and professionally. And I really feel like I've been blessed and I'm lucky. And that's why I think it's really important for me to be honest and to raise my voice and to be out there the way that I am, because I like to really get into, you know, talking to other people about just being who you are.
Yeah. And remember that part, and, you know, it hasn't happened to me yet, but remember that part where Andy Cohen called you a lesbian superstar?
He hasn't called you that yet?
I'm waiting. Honestly, I've perhaps pushed the stalking thing with him a little bit too far, so it's not coming yet. But let me break it down for folks. You were on Watch What Happens Live, which I enjoy immensely. One of the reasons I enjoy it is because there's perhaps a little bit of drinking going on. They're a little free. And who was enabling the drinking that night on that night's episode? That would be Lori Michaels, who was bartending on one episode of Watch What Happens Live. Were you really slinging the drinks?
Yeah. No, they didn't want me mixing the drinks. And, you know, first of all, I would be horrible at it. And I got nervous that I really had to make drinks. And they were like, no, you really don't have to. Just pretend. So I was like, thank goodness. Acting I will do very well. Yeah, you didn't want me mixing anything. Not a single thing. Well, you know, I sang back in 2010 or 11. When was it when I sang the song with Danielle on What Happened Happens?
Yeah.
That was a debut for the girl-on-girl duet that, you know, I wrote and produced, and we did the first live performance on Andy's show, and, you know, shortly after that, you know, everything kind of steamrolled into this lesbian superstar thing, which, you know, Andy's great, and he's a Bravo TV mogul, I always say that, and grateful for that, you know, how he had presented me to the gays and the non-gays and all of us under the sun. And, you know, over the course of the last few short years, the name has kind of stuck and brought me back not too long ago over the summer, and got to mix some drinks, pretend at least. And, yeah, it was a good old time. It was a gay old time.
And even during the show, there was a caller who called in and said, Lori Michaels is hot. I will be very upfront with you. That was totally me.
That was you.
Yeah.
I thought it was. Your voice. I know you can disguise your voice.
I know you've been wondering. You're like, who was that? It was me. It was totally me.
Yeah, you know, I thank you for that. It helps. It gave me a little bit more of that that gay power over there. Like, it really sealed the deal for the lesbian superstar. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. It really pushed you. You almost had a moment there where you actually made a drink, but you weren't there yet.
Yeah, I almost did. Or lost my lesbian superstar status, and then it came right back to me again. I loved it. Thank you, Ken.
I'm here to help. Give me some highlights. You've been all over. You've played all of these different pride festivals and club shows and benefits. Give me some highlights. What just knocked you out that you were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just did this?
Highlights. There's so many that I try to stay in the moment so many times because I try to not miss anything.
Right.
I think like some of the moments where I kind of had to say, wow, I'm doing this. You know, I performed at Madison Square Garden. I've sung the national anthem quite a few times, and you know, one of the highlights was, you know, was performing at the Garden, which, you know, I would have loved to do a full concert, but I took the national anthem, I mean, because I'm just...
Yeah, that's good.
I'll take it in 90 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But you know, I have to be honest, I have the opportunity on more than one occasion during every month to work with my charitable organization, which is Reach Out Incorporated, and I have the pleasure and the privilege to work with a lot of young people and we do unique programs and presentations where we bring dance and music and fitness into schools and after-school programs, and we partner with noteworthy charitable organizations. And I have to say, even when I don't have the opportunity to perform, when I in some way, when I'm there helping to produce or helping to direct or put together events and programs, I really love doing that, and I always say that's the heart and soul of all that I do, not just musically, but otherwise, to be able to help when help is needed and to raise funds and to lend support and to, you know, undeniably show that that love conquers all, and because I really believe that, and that's really been a big part of this journey for me, being able to share not only my talent but my time with people, especially young people that love music, that love dance, that just, you know, want to get together and do something good and something positive. So
awesome.
That really keeps me pretty focused and grounded.
Love it. Love it. Well, speaking of dance, you also are co-owner of the Vibe Dance Center in, of course, Bergen County, New Jersey.
You are stalking me. You're stalking me, Ken. You know all this about me.
Hey, we violets stick together. It's what we do. It's what we do. Now, I will be very upfront with you. It could perhaps be argued that I am dance challenged. I think one could argue that. If I were to show up there at the Vibe Dance Center in Bergen County, New Jersey, where would you start with me?
Cliffside Park. That's where we're close to Fairview, Cliffside Park, southern Bergen County.
Nice.
I think if you were to show up, I would let you take whatever class you wanted to. I would even let you wear a tutu if you like.
I'm wearing one now, so that's not a stretch. That's fine. That's fine. Has anyone ever showed up where you're like, oh, wow, you should go bowling?
Oh,
I'm not asking you to name names.
We have a nearby bowling alley, I think. I should start getting some cards for them. My business partner is amazing, Courtney. You know, she kind of runs the dance show around here. I teach a few classes in dance. I fitness every once in a while. And then, you know, I run the music, the vocal coaching, and the artist development here. But, from time to time, we have people that they're first-timers, and we welcome them in with open arms because, you know, everybody's got to start somewhere. And we always say, you know, like 80% is just showing up, so we welcome them. But there have been a few occasions where we're like, you sure you don't want to go to cooking class or, you know, maybe to learn a little bit more about wine or go to the library and, you know, learn Italian or something. We have the Cliffside Park Library right up the block from us. That I know they offer some great classes there as well.
Well, I love the idea of me showing up and you saying, you know, I really think you should start taking some classes at our satellite campus there at the Montvale Bowling Lanes. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, the great thing about our dance center, too, is that it's in Cliffside Park. It mm-hmm. feels like your home. It's like your local town. But we have people that come from all over the place, and we also have special guest instructors, and we're so close to the city that, you know, you don't have to go to New York and we have a performance company and we have a competition team and we have a lot of great stuff that we do here. So, yes, so Ken, come over and I'm going to save a tutu for you.
Nice.
And maybe some coupons for the bowling alley or Italian classes at the library.
That will get me there so fast I can't even tell you. It's great. All right, well, I'll
join you for the Italian classes.
You'll come bowling with me. What are you talking about?
And I'll do the bowling, too.
Okay.
I just have to make sure that I remember to wear socks, or, you know, clean socks at least.
The lesbian superstar and the lesbian superstar wannabe going bowling at the Montvale Bowling Lanes. Everybody is invited. It's great. It's great. Well, we have to play with you the game that we actually have not played in quite some time. This is an opportunity for you to tell our listening audience, Lori Michaels, about some of your songs. This is the part where you tell our listening audience what some of your songs that you have out there in the world say about Lori Michaels. It's a little self-analysis. You ready?
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know. Mm-hmm. So I picked three songs.
I might learn a little bit about myself here, too.
Listen, it's a full-service show, Lori. So we will start, and the funny thing is, and I've never done this, and again, you're like guest 300 or 400, I don't even know where we are anymore, but I actually have come up with some analysis too, based on these songs that I've been listening to for the past week. So we will start with, tell our listening audience what Meet Me at the Partay says about Lori Michaels.
Sway if you're gay, if only for today. That's what it says. It says I like to have a good time, and I think, you know, it doesn't matter if you're gay or straight. And it's just a big old party.
Nice.
And that was with Sasha Ames, who was so much fun to record the song with and perform it live and, you know, produced by Bruno Sutter. And this, the track is great. I loved recording it. I love performing it live. And we've had a lot of fun, as, you know, it's kind of the unofficial gay anthem for party people.
Now, I feel that it says, I'm a lesbian superstar. I'll spell party any way I damn well please. It's my interpretation.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah,
just checking.
Thank you, Ken. I love it. Okay. That was we're good.
Two more to go. What does Lori Michaels' song Tattletale say about Lori Michaels?
That's the Italian in me. I don't like rats. So that was the one that I, you know, would have hoped the Mob Wives would have picked up. But, you know, until that day, or, you know, short of that happening, I had to let that one get out, because I just, you know, when people just talk and they need to just learn to just be maybe a little less talking, more minding their own business.
Nice.
Yes, that's that one.
Nice. Now, I interpreted that one as, I'm a lesbian superstar, shut the hell up. Just putting that out there. I've never offered this support for a guest. I want you to know that. It's season 6. It's a whole new season. And then, of course.
Thank you. My journal entries will be very, very well put together tonight. Thank you.
I'm putting on my resume that I affected Lori Michaels' journaling. I'm putting that right on there.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oprah will be proud.
And of course, that brings us to your latest track. What does Lady of the Harbor say about Lori Michaels?
Lady of the Harbor was our tribute for the reopening of the Statue of Liberty. And in fact, it was written by one of the most tremendously talented gentlemen in my life, who has had such a big impact on me, my piano teacher. From when I was very, very little, that my dad forced to come and give me a lesson, and he came every week for many years. That song was brought to life and released as a tribute to the Statue of Liberty,
nice.
Lady of the Harbor.
I don't want to be irreverent.
What did it say to you, Ken?
Yeah, I know. See, now I'm a little bit nervous, because I wasn't expecting that whole "I love my piano teacher" thing. I saw that as, I am alleging that the Statue of Liberty is a lesbian superstar. Is that possible? Is it possible interpretation?
It's possible. It's a little bit of a stretch, but it's possible.
Okay, all right.
You're close. Mm-hmm.
It's authorial intent. I learned about that at NYU. It's whatever I want it to be, Lori Michaels.
Uh-huh. I probably was in the same class. I got it.
Well, tell everyone what you got coming up. What should we know about Lori Michaels' life coming up?
Well, you can visit my website, LoriMichaelsMusic.com, and you can check out the clickable links that have become my life. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, that just, you know, I said my life now has become a series of clickable links and a promo video. But the future upcoming projects and programs for me, I'm at the Dance Center of the Vibe in Cliffside Park. We're putting a lot of great stuff together for the kids and the communities. I am in the studio. I'm recording for myself. I'm recording with other artists. And I'm doing appearances. I'm doing parties. I'm going to be performing a little bit more so than not, in the next upcoming months. And I'm just, like, super excited to just see what's next, even for myself, because sometimes I don't even know where I am.
Nice. Nice. And give more of a shout-out to Reach Out.
ReachOutInc.com, and actually our website is going to be under construction for a hot second, because we are gearing up to celebrate our 25th year of officially incorporating the nonprofit organization.
Wow.
As I said, I started it when I was in high school, and I was only 16, and it's an organization that really has taken a life of its own. I never knew when I started it that it was going to evolve and become an everyday, such a huge part of my everyday life. And I'm so happy and proud that that it was started by a song, and the song really gave me the inspiration to do more. And when you asked me at the top of the show about, you know, music and what it means to me, like, that that in a nutshell, you know, started really my nonprofit organization. The song was written by Lee Evans, and he remains the musical director for the organization. And, you know, Reach Out Inc. is just a big part of everything that I do. And I'm really, really, really blessed to, I don't like to call it a labor of love because that would imply it's work anymore. I used to say my labor of love, but now it's just a wonderful, wonderful piece of my life.
Love it. Love it. So everybody's got to go to iTunes. You have to download the new song because it's right there, Lady of the Harbor. Download Lori's other music. Go to reachoutinc.com and learn all about the great work she's doing there. I have to tell you, so I've been listening to your music like a crazy person, watching you online. You just have this undeniable and accessible joy to you. And it's just so amazing to behold. Just sit and listen to your music. And one of the other things I love about you is you actually have a palpable range that your audience can access. You know, like you're not one of these one trick ponies. You're not one of these, I'm just in it because I want to put a great beat out there. You're in it because you are putting yourself out there in this just amazing way. It's so clear your fans connect to you. I am one of your fans. Just so appreciative of everything that you put out there into the world.
Oh, Ken, thank you. I want to give you a hug, and I can't.
You did. We did. This whole interview was a hug. It's a Jersey Violet hug. It's what we do.
Yes. Yes.
So,
thank you so much for that.
You're going to keep doing this?
Yes, for a long, long time.
Awesome. Lori Michaels, an absolute treat having you on the show. Please keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Ken. This show is so gay. I love it. Thank you.
All right, folks, and we are back. Well, more fun for you. Another guest coming your way. Sasha Sackett is a singer-songwriter with just a ton of albums to his credit, including Alabaster Flesh in 2001, Lovers and Leaders in 2007, and Viscera in 2010. He's performed all over the world, from clubs to pride festivals to high school GSAs. Over the past year, he's been performing and writing songs for It Gets Better, the musical, which we have talked about a ton on this show. It's touring all over the country, and now he's here with us. Sasha Sackett, welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, I say welcome back because it has been 4 years since you've been on. I'm not kidding. 4 years since you've been on our show.
Wow. Yeah, it goes by fast, doesn't it?
Did we do something wrong?
No. I've been working away in my little cave, so nothing to do with you.
Okay. I didn't know if you were questioning whether or not you were so gay, and you're like, I can't go back on that show. I don't know.
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
I'm glad
to be here.
Well, it's been so long, you must remind our listening audience a little bit about you, but we start with you, as we just started with Lori Michaels, and we start with all our musical people. Tell our listening audience, why the medium of music to get your voice out there?
Oh, that's a big question. I mean, I've played music pretty much since I was 5. My parents weren't able to tear me away from the piano. So it's sort of been central, you know. I was always that kind of hammy kid.
Mm-hmm.
And always performing. I put on little shows as a kid, and I'm still doing it. You know, it's like, I can't get enough.
What was your signature number back then? What were you as the, you know, the 5-year old really wowing them with?
There is video that never must come out. I mean, I used to love to dance, so I would choreograph whole numbers to like Wilson Phillips songs.
Yay!
Yeah, I know. And, Debbie Gibson, Electric Youth was like the jam, and, Whitney Houston, of course.
Of course.
So there is just totally, I mean, it's pretty much as gay as you can get, so it's awesome.
I was more of a Tiffany type of boy.
Did you go to the mall?
Hello, as we just covered, I grew up in New Jersey. Yes, I went to the mall. It's what we do.
That's awesome.
And you had to pick a side for folks, for our younger listeners. You don't know. You had to pick a side. Either you were a Debbie Gibson fan or you were a Tiffany fan. Never the two shall meet.
Yes.
So.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
So was there a part where you had to explain to your family, this is what I'm going to do for a living? Or were they always like, yes, this is what you should be doing?
I think they just sort of were resigned to the fact. I mean, honestly, I sort of wanted to always be an actor as well. Mm-hmm. So they were kind of a little miffed when I said, well, actually, I want to do music. Because they're like, well, you should be an actor. I mean, only somebody in Los Angeles, you know, with their parents, like, have this conversation with their child. But yeah, you know, it took them a little time for them to see that, you know, music, sort of writing, songwriting, and music's probably, it's probably my biggest passion. I mean, I love to be creative, and I try and create in as many ways as I can. But that was sort of, I think out of college, I was like, well, I know I've done all this different stuff, but I really want to, you know, produce some music. So they were a little bit, like, weirded out by it, but they've come around for sure.
Nice. And for folks who don't know, born in Iran.
Yes. Yes. I'm half Iranian. My mom's from England.
A little bit of a tumultuous time when your family left Iran.
Yes. It was during the Islamic Revolution, which my parents were, you know, they were just in the middle of it all. And my mom actually got shot. She survived. And they left with me at 1 year old. And I've never gone back. I mean, honestly, obviously it's crazy over there. But hopefully one day I'll get to go back just to see.
I was reading about 2011 when you were just like, let me write a song every hour.
Yeah. I still do that. I write a lot of music. I don't release much of it. But I always do write a lot. And I'm actually working on music right now. But yeah, that was a year I was just like, I want to do a song a week. So it's like I produced and wrote and recorded, engineered a song a week. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. Very draining.
I bet.
Yeah, it was extremely draining. But, you know, it's like, it was sort of, it was an amazing experience in that it pushed my creativity and I grew a lot, I think, as an artist.
Yeah.
I try and write something new every day. So I still do that. I think we're all sort of capable of doing that too. It's just a matter of sort of, you know, throwing down the gauntlet. And that was sort of where I was. It was like, I want to see how much I can do. And failure's okay. You know, just do my best and go at this. And, I was really, really happy with, actually, I am really happy I did it, and a lot of those songs are so great. I mean, half the time I can't even remember the songs. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've totally forgot about that one. But I'm always like, yeah, that was a great song. Can't believe I wrote that in a week.
Yes, but you did that thing that I would never do, and you told people that you were going to do that. So I would imagine you had people in your life being like, oh, what's your song of the week? And you're like, oh, man, I got to go do a song of the week.
That's the only way to keep doing it, though. You gotta have that sort of like accountability. I need it. If I don't have accountability, then it's like, it's sort of like you're just like lost at sea, and this creative sea, you could just, you know, never finish anything.
Tell me about the off week though. There had to have been one week where you wrote that one song and you're like, okay, I think I just wrote a song about my Cheerios or just something like that was a little bit off.
Well, I mean, I would, if I really had a bad week of writing, I had a store of songs that I'd written in the past.
Okay.
I would just pull one of those out and finish it. So.
And feel free to take the whole Cheerios idea. I don't have that copyrighted or anything, so.
There is a guy that actually did a song a day, which is crazy. But you know, it's really cute. I think he's on YouTube, and I checked it out when I first came up with the idea, and it was like that. His songs were about Cheerios and sort of thing. So
I think I'm being all original here. I'm not. I'm not.
Exists.
Some guy did it already. Why is it important to you? We just had Lori Michaels on the show. We were talking about being an out artist. Why is it important to you to be an out artist?
Well, I mean, just on a standpoint of like helping the community, I think it's really important, and being proud of who you are and trying to be an example in some way. Like, I think everybody that comes out or is out just improves things in general. I think the more people that come out, just the better it is, obviously.
Yeah.
The more people see, and honestly, as an artist, like, it was never, I couldn't do it from the beginning, you know. It was like, for me, my artistry was a lot about being just honest and vulnerable. And so for me to sort of lie about such a fundamental thing would be against my, it would just, would be the worst thing for me as an artist, I think. So, I'm glad I never did that. I think it's a weird dance to do for sure when you're playing the pronoun game. That never works. Everybody always knows anyway, I find.
Right.
I ask people like, yeah, we know you were playing the pronoun game, or they'll say that about other artists too. And so, yeah, it's just all about, you know, I think being an artist is a lot about being honest. So
nice.
They're trying to.
Give me some highlights. Give me some Sasha career highlights of being out there and playing these festivals and getting out there. What stands out for you as you look back a bit and like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that.
Oh my gosh, there's so many different things. But I mean, one of the biggest highlights is being part of this show. It gets better. There was a moment, I got thrown into the show because I played a house concert. And I had written a song for this kid named Jamie, and he had committed suicide because he was teased and bullied really badly in high school. And I related to that story so much because that was basically it was my story. I was extremely teased for being gay, like, all through school. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, you know, I was extremely depressed, and, you know, thank God I never took my life, but there were moments when I was kind of there. And I saw that video and it just killed me, and I immediately just wrote a song, and just that day I was just like, this song just kind of came out of me. So I played it at this house concert, and the director, writer-director Liesl Reinhardt, was there, saw it. She's like, I'm actually writing a musical about bullying, basically, you know, kids that are killing themselves. I can't believe you just played that song. Would you be interested in this show? And I said yes. And I think one of the big highlights is honestly getting to play that song. We've gone to high schools, you know, and I've actually played that for high school kids. For me, that's like a full circle moment. To get to talk to kids, be honest and open with kids about my experience and sort of shining a light on that. There's only so much you obviously can change or do when you're in any city, but it always feels extremely powerful to me, and the kids seem to really respond a lot to that song as well. So
I bet.
So yeah.
You have to tell us more about the musical, because we've had Liesl on, and especially when we were all working hard to get this project funded and thrilled that it got funded. But I don't know a ton about the musical itself. Is there a narrative? Is there a plot? Is it a series of songs? What's going on in this musical?
It's definitely got a plot. It's about a kid that's being really bullied in school, and it revolves around him, and it sort of merges the idea of what YouTube is.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of these characters come out of YouTube and sort of jump into his room through the magic of musical land, I guess. And it's sort of just his journey, you know. He could possibly be one of those kids that could take his life.
Right.
And so, you know, it does hit on some dark issues, but it's actually extremely, it's a really funny show. For sure. I mean, I'm almost amazed sometimes at how many laughs we get in that show. It just is kind of amazing, especially when you're talking about some serious stuff.
Totally.
But yeah, so it's definitely narrative. And then there are moments where there's six actors, really amazingly talented actors and singers. And we all sort of get a chance to sort of come out on the stage as ourselves and tell our story.
Mm.
So that happens too.
How is that for you? How is that for you just being on stage and, you know, obviously you're always telling your story through your music, and we as your listeners are always getting a sense of you through that, but I would imagine it's an altogether different thing when you're out there really telling your tale in a much more narrative way.
Yeah, totally. You know, in the beginning, I did musicals in college and in high school, and then I sort of didn't do them for a while. So it was definitely, you know, like jumping into the fire. But it's actually led me into musical, and, you know, I'm working on a few other shows now, you know, that's sort of where I'm going. And I love acting, actually. I've always loved acting. I did a little film at one point, and I've always sort of done acting. I'm from Los Angeles, so you sort of can't get away with it.
Right.
But yeah, no, I love it. It's been wonderful. It's been a lot of fun. I play this sort of gym rat, tough guy from New Jersey, so it's totally like not me, if anybody knows me. And it's fun. It's fun to play this kind of dumb jock, actually, so I have a lot of fun with it.
I'm so happy you clarified that. I almost wrote your bio as Sasha Sackett is a gym rat from New Jersey. I thought that was going to be spot on. Talk to me about audience reactions, because that was what I haven't had Liesl or Jimmy on since the show really started touring. And one of the things that they were most looking forward to was interacting with the audiences, because there's always some sort of talk back or Q&A or just opportunity to interact. What has that experience been like for you?
It's incredible. I mean, we do residencies each week, so we go to a town for a week, and we go to schools. We meet a lot of these kids before the show,
mm-hmm.
And then we've had shows where we do Q&As after. It doesn't happen after every show,
right?
But you do build sort of a connection with a lot of the people in the audience, because there's one in particular. You know, it's just a kid that was really being bullied, and just getting to share my story with her, to talk with her and listen to her, and then for her to see the show and come after the show and just, you know, she's in eighth grade. And it was profound for me. It really felt like, I think for me, when I was that young and I was going through the stuff she was going through, I felt so utterly alone and ashamed, because I didn't know anybody that was gay. You know, it was pre-Ellen. So it really wasn't even in the culture at all. But just that she at least could have that for me was really powerful. That, you know, I could say, you know, I went through what you're going through to some degree, and, you know, you're not alone in that. And, you have a lot of support around you, and, you know, here are some resources too. You know, the show also brings together community in a lot of really interesting ways. So it sort of links people together, which is really cool as well. It's very activistic, actually.
Yeah.
Which I like a lot.
Well, one of the great pieces about the show, I think it would be so easy for you to get a gig in New York City, in Westchester, New York, and maybe a Jersey date, and I'm sure right in the heart of San Francisco. But I love that you guys are playing just in places where I'm reading the tour dates right now, and it just reads as, oh yeah, this should be going to those places. Coming up, you're headed to Utah. Are you going?
Yeah, totally. We're going actually next week. So I'm really excited. I like Utah, actually. I really like Salt Lake City, but we're going to Ogden.
I don't even know what that is.
It's about, I think, 50 miles outside of Salt Lake City.
Okay.
But yeah, they need it. They could use the show, I think.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. And yeah, that's when we've done shows actually in some of the bigger cities, and they're always great, but they play more as theater.
Right.
And which is wonderful. But when we do go to the small town, you really feel sort of a hunger for it on a deeper level. It's not just entertainment, you know.
Yeah.
It really is something much deeper. And it gives people a chance. You know, we've done Q&As, I remember, in Kansas. I think we were in Lawrence. No, we were in Iowa City.
Okay.
We're in Iowa. But just hearing people at the Q&A, like, talking about their city and, you know, how they treat gay people and all these different things. And you know, it's a room of 500, 600, 700 people that stay for the Q&A, you know. And it's very town hall feeling. And it suddenly, you feel the show is doing something a lot deeper than just entertaining.
Yeah. God, that's got to be just so incredibly fulfilling as someone up there performing.
Yeah, for sure. I feel really lucky to be part of the show. So.
And maybe we can have a little bit of bleed between the It Gets Better project and your own personal shows, so that
sure.
You can start doing the Q&As afterwards, and we can tell you what we're thinking.
Are you opinionated? Do you have, like, all these opinions on the show?
I'm a college professor. Yeah, I'm going to have some opinions that I would like to share with you after your musicals.
Yeah, we'll see. see how that goes.
I feel that idea has been dismissed. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. All right. So you're going to Utah next week. You got Wisconsin in November. You already have 2014 dates in Nebraska, which is apparently a state. I had to look that up. So that's exciting. And going to Texas, going back to Wisconsin. What do you want folks to know about this musical? Because they can reach out and book it themselves, can they not?
For sure. As I said, I mean, it's a really amazing community building show. I guess that's how I see it.
Yeah.
I've seen the show actually bring a community together, which I don't think a lot of things do.
No.
So that's a big thing, is, you know, bringing a lot of different gay groups together with, like, you know, city officials and even police officers and all these different people, you know, coming together. That's one of the big things I love. The other big thing with the show, honestly, to toot its own horn, is it's really entertaining and really funny.
Nice.
So if you want a fun show, it's definitely something to come out and see.
Awesome.
With some amazing talent. There's really some amazing, you know, really amazing actors and singers in the cast, and that I'm honored to work with. So I think there's a lot of talent on the stage as well.
And folks can stroll on over to itgetsbettertour.org and learn more there. What about if folks want to follow you and find out what you individually are working on?
Oh, yeah. You can go to sachasackett.com, S-A-C-H-A. S-A-C-K-E-T.
Awesome. Well, based on our track record, we are excited to speak to you again in 2017. Maybe sooner. Have an amazing time in Utah. I mean, what just an incredible project. I'm so excited. We spoke to someone after it's all started because we just knew when we covered it and we got all of these listener emails that, oh, this is going to be incredible and it's going to be so fulfilling. And I had no doubt that it would be, but so fantastic to hear from you that it is.
Oh, thank you so much. And thanks for having me on the show.
All right. Our best to Liesl. Tell everybody we say hi.
I will.
Your halo's on my mind, wearing through thoughts I fight. Can you read? Am I right for you? Your halo's all I find. Wonder why you shine so bright. When I've been real, I've been right to you. 'Cause I know you've never been seen. Oh, you could say no one's looking for love. The length of your dream, wake up to find you've got nothing but the rat race routine. Try to squeak by.
All right, folks, and we are back. Well, a little bit of time left on this week's episode, so let's throw some LGBT news and views out at you. There is this letter that has gone all kinds of viral. It is making the rounds in the social media universe, and it is allegedly from a grandfather to his daughter, and there are some doubts about the authenticity, but even as they write on tollroad.com, folks are rallying around the sentiment of this letter, and this is what the letter reads. It was a letter that was forwarded to an LGBT activist type site, and got printed, and everybody's forwarding it everywhere, and this is what it reads. Dear Christine, I'm disappointed in you as a daughter. You're correct that we have a shame in the family, but mistaken about what it is. Kicking Chad out of your home simply because he told you he was gay is the real abomination here. A parent dismissing her child is what goes against nature. The only intelligent thing I heard you saying in all this was that you didn't raise your son to be gay. Of course you didn't. He was born this way and didn't chase it any more than he being left-handed. You, however, have made a choice of being hurtful, narrow-minded, and backward. So while we are in the business of disowning our children, I think I'll take this moment to say goodbye to you. I now have a fabulous, as the gays put it, grandson to raise, and I don't have time for a heartless B-word of a daughter. If you find your heart, give us a call. Signed, Dad. It's unbelievable, unbelievable sentiment. And folks who run the website to whom this letter was forwarded said, quote, "We were blown away by how this guy stands by his grandson and stands up against his own homophobic daughter. This is real love." Making its rounds, if you see it online, post it and see what people respond, because definitely getting some opinions out there. Let's talk about the cover of Out magazine, and maybe not for the reason that this story is being covered today, but it's got the Jonas Brothers. So the Jonas Brothers are on the cover of Out magazine, and in the Huffington Post, this is what the Huffington Post piece reads, "The sexuality of the three Jonas brothers, Joe, Nick, and Kevin, has been speculated about for some time now, and their latest decision to pose for gay magazine Out might add fuel to the fire in some people's minds. However, the musical trio sought to clarify rumors surrounding their sexual orientation this week in a question-and-answer session accompanying the steamy new photo shoot." And so Joe and Nick and Kevin, although he's not quoted in this particular piece, have some pro-gay things to say. Joe says, quote, "We have a lot of gay friends and gay fans. It's a boy band stereotype, people assume, but we don't take offense." Nick says, "Prior to us being a band, I was a super theater geek. I love theater and I still do, and I care about fashion and I care about a lot of things that I feel like stereotypes are attached to." And Joe said about being in Out magazine, he said, "Being in Out is a moment for us for sure. We keep saying, well, it's about time." So, you know, it's all coy and it's a publicity stunt, and I'm sure Out magazine will sell a lot of issues. I am still at the point now. Again, I enjoy Out magazine on occasion. I don't subscribe anymore. I have not renewed my subscription in quite some time. It annoys me to no end that the Jonas Brothers are on the cover of Out magazine in this like playful, coy thing. Out magazine is what, a monthly? Isn't it a monthly? It's not a biweekly. It's a monthly. So that means, by my math calculations, 12 issues of Out magazine a year. Can we seriously just put gay people on it for the 12 issues? It's not to say anything about me denigrating the role of allies in the march towards LGBT equality. I am not saying that at all. Without allies, we would not have made the progress that we have made, and I have allies on this show. But it's the cover of Out magazine. There's 12 of them a year. Put gay people on it every month. And if you're going to put straight people on there, they need to be working their tails off for the gay community. Now, I know that Out magazine is not The Advocate, even though they are owned by the same parent company. So The Advocate is much more about equality and is about news. Out magazine is not that. It's a fashion and entertainment magazine. That said, it is not an apolitical magazine, and it's Out magazine. Am I so simplistic in this? And you guys can drop me an email. Let me know what you think. Ken@theshowsogay.com. I apparently am so simplistic that I just want, on my 12 covers of Out each year, I want gay people. Or I want allies who have gone out of their way to ally themselves with the gay community, which the Jonas Brothers have not done at all. I mean, I appreciate their comments, but these are not three guys who are out there fighting for LGBT equality. They are gay friendly, and I don't think gay friendly straight people, that qualifies you to be on the cover of Out magazine, though I'm sure that based on the steamy photo shoot, which I have not seen, but I'm sure that that will sell a lot of copies of Out magazine. It's called Out, put gay people on the cover. Just putting that out there. A lot of drama in the world of pasta. I mean, I'm sure you have all heard at this point. The apologies keep coming from Barilla and its CEO, who triggered worldwide outrage when he suggested gay people buy someone else's pasta. He had said, so this was Guido Barilla, implied during an interview with Italian radio show La Zanzara last week, that he does discriminate when creating advertising for his company. Got to appreciate when they just say it outright like this. When asked whether the world's largest pasta producer would feature gay couples in its advertisements, Guido said, quote, "I would never do a commercial with a homosexual couple, not for lack of respect, but because we don't agree with them. Ours is a classic family where the woman plays a fundamental role. If gays don't like it, they can eat another brand." As it turns out, the LGBT community didn't really support those comments. Who knew? Who knew? And boycotts were being staged, and the Barilla pasta company started seeing a little bit of a decline. So, shock of shockers, he got out there, Guido, the CEO, and he released a video this week in which he swears he's, quote, "never discriminated against anyone," and he promises to meet with LGBT activists. He's already apologized via a series of statements, including one in which he claimed to respect gay marriages and gay people. He said this quote, "Yesterday I apologized for offending many people around the world. Today I am repeating that apology. Through my entire life, I've always respected every person I've met, including gays and their families, without any distinction. I've never discriminated against anyone." I think this goes back to one of those central topics that we talk a lot about on this show, the meaning of apologies. Just take responsibility for it. Don't backtrack and say, I've never discriminated against anyone ever, because you just made these comments to an Italian show and it's right there on the record. So yay for apologizing. Yay for meeting with activists. Yay for trying to save your business, because that's important. And, you know, people don't want their businesses to suffer. But don't backtrack and say, I've never discriminated against anyone, because it's pretty clear from your comments. By saying you would never do a commercial with gay people, you would never represent that, and they are contrary to what you feel a family really is, then I would argue, yeah, you're putting a little bit of discrimination out there. But good job on apologizing. So there's that. A lesbian. We love lesbians. Can that just be the whole story? We love lesbians. Except in this case, a woman is suing the leaders of a North Mississippi town, accusing them of conspiring to prevent her from opening a gay bar by denying an application for a business license. Pat Newton filed the federal lawsuit this week against the mayor and six aldermen of Shannon, a town of about 1,700 in Lee County, where Newton has been trying to open a cafe and a bar called O'Hara's to cater to the gay community. The 55-year-old Newton, who is a lesbian, is seeking monetary damages and an order to allow her to open the business, as well as attorney's fees and other costs. She's being represented. The suit says that Shannon Mayor Ronnie Hallmark, quote, led a conspiracy to deny Newton a business license and solicited community opposition to the bar. So we're going to keep our eyes on Shannon, Mississippi. Good job, Pat P.J. Newton. Maybe we'll reach out. We'll try to get Pat on the show, and we will talk about her experiences trying to open that bar there in Newton. And that, of course, is all we have time for on this week's episode. You can, of course, get in touch with us. Please, please, just send us an email. We love emails. We respond to every single email. Every email we get, we respond to. You just got to type it. You can't think it. You got to actually send it over to us. And you do that by going into your email browser, whatever it might be, and sending an email to ken@theshowsogay.com. Dr. Frankie's going to be on next week. You need relationship advice? She will help you on the air. You can sign your name. You cannot sign your name. Depends on which route you want to go on that one. And so you send an email to ken@theshowsogay.com asking Dr. Frankie a question. She's going to help you. She's going to help your love life. And she's very expensive. Were you to go to California and try to book Dr. Frankie, she doesn't come cheap because she's really good at what she does. So get some free love advice and ask some questions to Dr. Frankie by sending that email on over. ken@theshowsogay.com. And of course, right there on theshowsogay.com, we must remind you that you can subscribe to our show on iTunes. It makes the downloading experience that much easier when iTunes just does it for you. So those are our plugs for this week. Huge, huge thanks to lesbian superstar Lori Michaels. Huge, huge thanks to Sasha Sackett. My gosh, it was great welcoming him back after such a long absence. We got to get him back sooner than 4 years next time around. And of course, thanks to you guys for listening, because without you listening, we would not be the show that we are. So sincere, sincere thanks to you all. Get out there, folks. Go do some amazing things. Go use your voice the way that you know how to use it. And you know what that is. Whatever your talents may be, use your voice to make a difference for our LGBT and ally brothers and sisters. Get out there and remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
More than one membership, more than one club, and I owe my life.